Greetings, all you 99%ers. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. The show, Alternative Visions, where we discuss solutions to the current economic and political crises in America, not just the problems. The topic today is the hot topic of the day, fiscal cliff. Last week, I offered a few comments at the top of the show about this so-called fiscal cliff. Time to say more. Everyone listening will, I guarantee, be impacted by it, and soon, so listen close. By the way, we will have no guest today, just yours truly. First point, what is the fiscal cliff exactly? Well, it's that $1.2 trillion in federal government spending cuts and tax hikes that start January 2013. Now, that's $1.2 trillion over several years. About half of that, okay, $460 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office, is what's going to occur in terms of tax hikes and spending cuts starting January in 2013. Now, the press is saying $500, $600 billion. No, it's $460 billion if we're going to believe the Congressional Budget Office. Then another $644 billion in 2014, which makes it a little over another $1 trillion. Now, three-fourths of that, $330 billion of the $460 billion, is tax hikes coming. Or, actually, the elimination of tax cuts that had been in effect for quite some time. Most of those, the Bush tax cuts since early 2001, 2, and 3. And then the payroll tax cut that started in 2010. Now, you got to remember that the Bush tax cuts are mostly tax cuts for wealthy folks, investors, the wealthiest 10% households, dividends, capital gains, estate taxes, etc., etc. Three-fourths of that is really of the Bush tax cuts. The $330 billion, in other words, was going to be raised on the wealthy here. And that's the issue for the Republicans. Okay. Most of that, okay, of the $330 billion is Bush tax cuts, and another roughly $100 billion is ending the payroll tax cut, that 2% reduction in the 6.4% payroll tax, 6.2% payroll tax. Okay, so the rest of the $460 billion, maybe $100 billion, is spending cuts. And the spending cuts are roughly divided between defense spending cuts and non-defense spending cuts, social programs. So about $100 billion or so in social program cuts, and about $300 and some billion in Bush tax cuts and the payroll tax cut. That's the fiscal cliff. That is what is supposed to happen in January 13. They're going to take some money out of the economy, both in terms of raising taxes and cutting spending. And fear is that that's going to have some negative effect on the economy. In fact, Congressional Budget Office says if we go ahead with that, it's going to mean a 4% drop in the economy. In other words, a guaranteed double-dip recession. Okay, we'll talk about whether that's really true, whether this fiscal cliff is really a Bush tax cut ledge. Okay, second point about the fiscal cliff. It really goes back to August 2011. In other words, these cuts and tax hikes that are scheduled are really part of a deal that was struck in August 2011 between Obama administration and the Republicans in Congress, in the House, to avert a debt ceiling crisis. In other words, the total U.S. debt. The government has to borrow money periodically or raise the level. In order to borrow, it has to raise the level of the debt ceiling. And that came up in 2011. By the way, it's coming up again in December. And the Republicans held Obama's feet to the fire here and said, no, we don't want any reduction of the Bush tax cuts. It's got to be all spending. And they went back and forth for several months over that. You know, it kind of indicates that Republicans in corporate America, the number one issue is not deficits and debt. The number one issue is, don't touch my tax cuts, stupid. All right. Keep that in mind. It's not really about deficits. It's about taxes. All right. As part of that deal, in August 2011, $1 trillion was cut from the government budget, government spending. $1 trillion. All in spending. Not one penny of tax hike. We did not touch the Bush tax cuts for the rich. All that $1 trillion in cuts really impacted education and other government programs across the board. Now, part of that deal in August 2011 was another $1.2 trillion that would take effect in January 2013, i.e., the fiscal cliff. So they really agreed to cut over $2 trillion at that particular time. $1 trillion immediately, $1.2 trillion coming up in January 2013. Now, the Democrats and Obama were saying all along, look, you know, there's got to be some tax hikes. Let's close some loopholes. You know, at least the billions of dollars were given to these oil companies that are making $50 billion a year each, Exxon, you know, and they're getting billions of tax cuts from the U.S. government. And how about all these CEOs running around and getting tax cuts on the use of their private jets? You know, loophole closings. Token loophole closings. Not the real loopholes. The real loopholes are foreign profits and sheltering their big bucks in offshore tax shelters from Cayman Islands to Vanuatu to the Seychelles, etc. Okay, those are the real loopholes. But anyway, when they struck the deal in August 2011, there were no tax loophole closings. There were no tax hikes on the rich. There was no cutting of the Bush tax cuts. It was all spending cuts. And the spending cuts were roughly evenly distributed toward between cutting defense, half of that trillion, and cutting other social programs, the other half of the trillion. Now, part of that deal in August 2011 was also setting up this special, what they called, super committee in Congress. You know, the 18 or so really power brokers in the House and Senate, and they were supposed to come up with cutting even more. Not just the $1 trillion and the $1.2 trillion coming, but, you know, they're saying, oh, let's cut another $1.5, $2 trillion. Oh, about $4 trillion now. Keep that magic number in mind, because all the political elites have always been in agreement that we're going to cut $4 trillion. It's just a question, what's the mix? How much raising taxes? How much cutting spending? And if we're going to raise taxes, is it going to be on the middle class, or is it going to be on the top 2% and corporations? And if we're cutting spending, is it going to be defense or non-defense? Those are the issues. Okay, so the super committee was supposed to, a year ago, come up with a proposal for even more cuts. But as good politicians that we know they are, they're not going to do that in a year before an election. So they kicked the can down the road last November, and now they found the can again after the election, after they protected their butts, and they're in office now for another 2 to 4 years. Now they're going to do what they said they were going to do and did not do a year ago, that is, cut some more. Okay. So, what happened last year? Nothing. We moved sideways on deficit cutting and all of these issues, and so did the economy, by the way. A real crab-like economy, no real recovery, just sort of slipping our way into the election. Okay. Now, I predicted last week, and I'm not sure if my article got up on the PRN website, but perhaps it will. that they will strike a deal this time. There will be a deal on the fiscal cliff, unlike the deal they did not reach a year ago with the super committee, and unlike, you know, all the back and forth negotiations, the debt ceiling deal and all of that stuff before that. You know, they've been working this deficit cutting thing for 3 years now. This is not anything new. Okay, they will make a deal. Well, who's they? They are Republicans and Democrats in Congress and in the administration and corporate CEOs who are behind them. Okay, what does that mean? Means hold on to your checkbook, middle class America, and tell your grandma, too, to hold on to her purse because they're coming for Medicare and Social Security. Now, why will they make a deal? I'll explain that history up to this point. It's very important to understand it, right? But why is the deal happening now? It's going to happen now because Obama will agree to big cuts in Medicare and Medicaid and start the process of cutting Social Security, and he will also agree big tax cuts coming. Tax cuts, I said, for corporations. They're going to raise personal income taxes, particularly in the middle class and others, but they're going to cut corporate taxes big time. And they're going to take a shot, begin cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Here's what I predict. Medicare. They're not going to cut the coverage for Medicare. In other words, you got Medicare now, they're not going to reduce the coverage you got, but they're going to make you pay more for it. Especially Part B, which is physicians, that you're paying out of pocket now about $110 a month if you're on Medicare, and Part D, prescription drugs, you're going to pay a lot more for your prescription drugs coverage. And there's even talk about raising the age for eligibility for Medicare above current 65 years. That's how they're going to cut Medicare. How are they going to cut Social Security? Well, I predict they're going to reduce the cost of living adjustment. They're going to save money that way. Clearly, they're going to raise the eligibility age. You can be darn sure of that, 67, maybe 68. And I also predict that they're going to really take a whack at Social Security disability. You know, all those folks who are on disability, permanent disability, can't work and so forth, they're getting Social Security. They're going to raise and tighten the eligibility for that. They're going to tighten that eligibility. If you're on it now, they're not going to take it away from you. But those who in the future hope to get on it are going to be a lot tougher to get on it. Okay. Medicaid. What are they going to do with Medicaid, as big a cost as Medicare? Well, I predict they're going to give the states more control over how much they want to use and spend on Medicaid. In other words, they're going to adjust Obamacare and appeal to Republican governors in certain states who don't want to spend on Medicaid. All right, so that's the cuts coming in social entitlement programs, right? And we're also going to see tax cuts for corporations as part of a deal. How do we know that? Well, because Obama's been saying that. If you've been listening closely this past year and listened to the debates, very clearly, Obama said he wanted to cut corporate top tax rates from the current 35 to 28%. He was absolutely in agreement with Romney on that issue, who wanted to reduce it to, I think, 26 or 5%. No big difference, right? Big tax cuts for corporations. Not only the top rate, but the foreign profits tax. They're going to cut a deal. You know, corporations are hoarding $1.4 trillion, multinational corporations that are offshore subsidiaries, refusing to bring it back and pay taxes on it. And they're going to cut a deal, a one-time deal, just as they did in 2004. To allow those corporations to pay much less, maybe 15, 10%, to bring some of that money back. So that's going to be in the deal. And they're going to reduce the defense cuts. that are scheduled in January 13 here to about half of what that is. Well, corporate CEOs are really, they really like that. That's why they're aligning with Obama, and they're putting pressure on the Republican establishment in the House, Boehner and others, who are going to whip their T-Publicans in line. You know, all they need is 20-some votes, and they will get their way. There will be a deal now because corporate CEOs, who, by the way, are meeting with President Obama as we talk today, not for the first time. This has been going on since the November election, almost on a daily basis. Obama and his aides have been meeting with corporate CEOs, and now there's another second general meeting with them today. And, of course, he's meeting with Republicans, and they're meeting with corporate CEOs. Oh, a deal's going to be made. And if you listen to House Speaker Boehner, it's in the works. Oh, I'm telling you what the deal might very well look like. But it's going to happen this time because corporate Fortune 500 folks are behind Obama, and they're together putting the pressure on the House, and they're going to get their deal, I believe, because there's big tax cuts for them, and the defense spending will be reduced. Oh, why will it be reduced? Well, if you also listen to Obama during the debates, when that $500 billion of defense cuts issue came up, occurring in this January, what did Obama say? Oh, very softly, very quickly, he said, well, that's Congress's position. That's not mine. So you know he's going to reduce that spending cut, as well as cut corporate taxes, which means we're going to have to cut other stuff, Social Security, Medicare, education, Medicaid, so on and so forth, big time, and we're going to have to raise some personal income taxes. Those taxes will hit the middle class as well. I was talking about my predictions about the fiscal cliff and the deal that is coming. The deal's coming because corporate CEOs are behind Obama. He's going to give them big corporate tax cuts. He's going to reduce the defense spending cuts. And together, they're going to put the pressure, which they're already doing as we speak here, on the T-Publicans in the House, and they will get their deal. Well, let's talk some more about the deal, the parameters, the elements of this deal. You know, we talked about the corporate tax cut, top rate from 35% to 28%. Now, keep in mind, we're going to be cutting corporate taxes when corporate profits and taxes, profits are at their highest and taxes are at their lowest in many years. Here's some figures. Between 1989 and 2008, corporate taxes as a percent of their profits was 24%. In other words, 24% of their profits on average for those years, 89 to 2008, 24%. In the last 3 years, what's been the average? Average corporate taxes as a percent of corporate total profits, 12.4%. In other words, they're paying only 12%, half of what they used to pay, and we're going to cut their taxes even more. Corporate America's got a real deal in the works here. And by the way, I'm talking about big corporations. I'm not talking about mom-and-pop businesses here. You know, I'm talking about General Electric and all these big multinationals, multinational corporations. All right, so what this means is the CEOs in Obama are going to trade increases in personal income taxes for cuts in corporate income taxes. You know, we used to call this in bargaining and unions just moving the money around. No real concession here. You know, put it in this box, take it out of there, put it in the other box, right? But the cuts that the wealthy investors were getting, now the corporations will get. Okay. Another prediction. The defense spending cuts, as I said, will be reduced. And most of those cuts, however, will not impact equipment expenditures by the Pentagon, but most of those will come in base closings and personnel cuts and vets benefits. All you vets out there listening, you better get together and you better go down there to Washington and have yourself heard, because they're looking at your bottom line with a red pencil. Oh, and yes, there will be some phony tax loophole closings that they'll claim will raise a certain amount of money. But, you know, when you put this, the army of corporate tax lawyers, they'll find another way to open another loophole. So loophole closings is all smoke and mirrors. Oh, there may be some token, a couple billion here for the oil companies, and a billionaire for the jets, personal corporate use of jets and everything. Well, that's nothing. That's mice nuts, as we used to say. Okay. Moving the money around. Now, my other prediction is the deal will be 5-1 at least, maybe 6-1 in the mix. In other words, for every dollar of a tax hike, there will be $5 of spending cuts. Okay. Now, some other elements of this. One, summarize corporate tax cuts down to 28%, windfall profits for multinational corporations, right? Defense cuts will be off the hook, big cuts in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security spending, 5 or 6 to 1 mix. There will be middle class tax hikes. Yes, hold on to your mortgage deduction, folks, and other sacred cows that you use to itemize your tax returns, education, family, state tax credits, and so forth. Oh, they're going to cut those for wealthy individuals, but they're going to do it for you, too. Now, Obama's been talking about, we're going to reduce the Bush tax, eliminate the Bush tax cuts on the wealthiest 2%. We're going to raise their tax rate, top tax bracket rate, from 35 to 39% that it was under Clinton, right? I don't think he's going to get that. You know, what he's going to get is a manipulation of the tax brackets. Yes, Boehner, House Speaker, just in the last few days signaled that, okay, we're not any longer, we Republicans, opposed to revenue increases. We're just opposed to top tax rate increases. Ah, okay. So that's part of the deal. Don't raise the top tax rate for the wealthy 2%, but you can play with their tax brackets. You can raise revenue from playing with their tax brackets. In other words, we'll probably add more brackets in there and otherwise adjust the brackets, and people won't understand what that's all about, and they'll claim that there's tax revenue increases, and oh, that will be it. Watch out for this code word. We're broadening the tax base. That means middle class, you're going to pay more. Now, the big feature of the deal that I predict is that it will be backloaded. What do we mean backloaded? That's a term in bargaining that you use to say, okay, it's not going to take effect initially. It will take effect in the outer years. This will be a 10-year deal, of course, to say that they're cutting $4 trillion in 10 years. Right? They don't have to have its greatest impact in 2013. They will minimize the impact in 2013. That's what was the worry with the fiscal cliff, with the Congressional Budget Office. You know, you cut $460 billion, you're going to have an impact on GDP and the economy. Okay, so, you know, we know the economy is still very weak. Come on, it's very weak. There's no real recovery going on. There hasn't been in 4 years. Oh, they talk about, the housing market's turned the corner. Well, data just came out that showed we're still only building 360,000 housing units a year. That's down from more than 1 million a year. In other words, housing has collapsed 70%. Oh, we got a little bit of a home price improvement here and there. And that's just bumping along the bottom. What about business spending? Well, corporations aren't investing. They're on strike. We got a capital strike going on. They're not investing, spending. It's investment and spending by business that creates jobs, and that's just not going on. What about the federal government? Well, they just sort of bundled their big defense spending in the last quarter to make it look like the economy was growing after they were cutting federal spending for 2 years in a row. And that enabled Obama to say, well, look, the economy is recovering. Yeah, well, that's going to go back down. I mean, they concentrated all of the government spending in last quarter. So that means that's going to go down. Housing's going down. Business spending is going down. What about consumers? Well, consumers are apparently buying again. At least the wealthiest 10% households, you know, because the stock market is doing quite well, and the stock market determines the wealthiest 10% spending patterns. What about the rest of us? Well, you know, the median folks are spending a little bit, but it's all on credit again. Watch out. That's part of what got us into the problem. Real disposable income, spendable income for the median household in the United States, making about $50,000, guess what? Down almost 10% in the last 3 years, and almost that much more in the previous 7, 8 years under Bush. An incredible 15 to 20% drop in spendable income. Well, no wonder they're spending on credit cards. The banks are throwing cards at us again, aren't they? Yes, that's the only thing that's holding up consumer spending, and that's not enough. So the economy is very weak, and they know it, and they're going to cut $4 trillion, but they're going to backload it. That means in the out years. Okay. It's called austerity. I don't care what you want to call the fiscal cliff. It's really austerity. Okay, so it's austerity light. Not as serious as what's going on in Greece and Spain and places like that, but it's the same thing, and it cannot help the economy. The only question is how much will it hurt the economy? That's the only question here. It's not a stimulus. It's stimulus in reverse. The stimulus programs under Obama in 2009 and 10 were insufficient, and that's why we did not get a real recovery. They were composed of too much tax cuts for the rich, and they sat on it. Big corporations are sitting on $2.5 trillion of cash. $2.5 trillion. And we want to give them more tax cuts? I don't know about that logic. You know, they aren't spending what they got now. Maybe we ought to take some of that money back and let the government spend it on jobs this time. Because that was also what was wrong with Obama's recovery program. There was no real spending on jobs. We left it up to corporations, and they just hoarded it. And we gave money to state and local governments, and they hoarded a lot of it, too, or divvied it out in subsidies. But it didn't create jobs. You know, we still got 23 million people unemployed in this country. There's no real recovery going on. And no matter what this fiscal cliff looks like, front-loaded or back-loaded, it's not a stimulus. I'm sorry, and all the other indicators are flashing red, and the global economy is slowing down. Europe is, country after country, you know, falling into recession. Japan is in recession again. China's rapidly slowing down. So is Brazil. Where's the growth? I don't see it. And we're going to a fiscal cliff, even though the cliff initially won't be that steep. Okay. Let's talk about the real causes of the deficits and the debt. The real causes, not the ones they're talking about in this phony fiscal cliff. But first, let's take a break. This is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions, your host. We'll come back and talk about the 8 real causes of deficits and the debt. Let me recommend you check out my blog, jackrasmus.com, all right? Because the article is there called Fiscal Cliff, Why a Deal Will Now Happen. Maybe they'll post it on PRN, but if not, go to jackrasmus.com, and what I've just talked about is there in that brief blog entry that's been republished elsewhere on other blogs. Okay, first of all. Secondly, you may want to just follow me on Twitter, because as these discussions occur day to day, I'm throwing a little one-liners up there. You know, we're limited by what we could say on Twitter, but my Twitter entries are just sort of day-to-day stuff, and the blog entries are week-to-week stuff. You can reach me, follow me on Twitter at #DR for doctor, drjackrasmus.com. drjackrasmus.com. Okay. But if you really want a deeper analysis of all this deficit cutting stuff that's been going on, I would refer you to my website, which is Kyklos Productions, KYKLOSProductions.com. If you're driving and you can't write it down, just Google me, Jack Rasmus, and you'll see Kyklos Productions. That's my website. And up there, I have a complimentary full chapter, Chapter 7 from my April 2012 book, Obama's Economy, Recovery for the Few. And then title of that chapter is Deficit Cutting on the Road to Double-Dip Recession. Now, this was written a year ago, and I've predicted much of what's been occurring here. And in that chapter, you will find a table, 7.1, table 7.1, entitled The Real Causes, the Eight Real Causes of Deficits and the Debt. Let me just summarize that table for you. You put this fiscal cliff stuff in context when you look at the real causes of deficit and debt. Okay, here's some figures. In 2000, the total federal debt, year 2000, was roughly $5.6 trillion, federal government, $5.6 trillion. When Bush left office, it was almost $10 trillion, and today it is a little over $16 trillion. So, you know, about $10 trillion plus we've added to the total federal debt over the last decade. Now, what are the elements of that? What are the main causes of that? Well, first of all, the Bush tax cuts cost us $3.1 trillion in federal revenue. $3.1 trillion of that $10 trillion was the Bush tax cuts. Now, remember, most of that is investor tax cuts and corporate taxes, what we call an economic supply-side tax cuts. And that includes that $3.1 trillion, the extension of the last 2 years of the Bush tax cuts. Every year we extend it, it costs us about $250 billion. By the way, the CBO, Congressional Budget Office, estimates that if Republicans get their way and we extend, as they love to do, the Bush tax cuts as is for another 10 years, it will cost us another $4.7 trillion. Okay, so it already cost us $3.1 trillion. Defense spending. Excessive inflation defense spending cost us another $2.1 trillion. $2.1 trillion. Now, I'm not saying that if we cut defense spending, all I'm saying is if we only had allowed defense spending to go up 2% per year, the same as the consumer price index, instead of the actual 8%+ per year compounded that it did, we would have saved $2.1 trillion. So the Bush tax cuts and defense spending inflation, $5.2 trillion. That's over half. Those two items alone, over half of the reason for the run-up in deficits and debt over the last decade. Now, where's the rest? Well, we had this big stimulus program, didn't we? We've had two and a half, almost three Obama stimulus programs. Stimulus meaning spending increases and tax cuts. And we had one just before Bush left office of $168 billion. So that's almost, well, about $1.9 trillion more in stimulus programs. And then we had the direct bailouts, another $900 billion. And then there was the problem with prescription drugs. Bush passed the prescription drugs bill in 2005, which was really a pharmaceutical company subsidization bill because it allowed the pharmas to raise prices on drugs and no one could do anything about it. Couldn't be disputed by states or anybody. All right. And we passed this prescription drug, Part D of Medicare, it's called, and we didn't provide any tax base for it. In other words, we're going to fund it totally out of deficits, according to Bush, and that's what we did, and that cost us another $450 billion so far. Now, we also have runaway medical costs, health costs throughout the decade, which drives up the cost of government programs like Medicare, Medicaid. That's another $180 billion. And then we've lost at least $300 billion because we can't get jobs going. You know, if people aren't working, they're not paying taxes, right? We got over 27 million people, according to the U6 unemployment rate of the Labor Department, who are still unemployed, chronically unemployed here for 4 years now. Well, that's a loss of another $300 billion in tax revenue. And then you throw in interest on all this, about $300 billion, and you got roughly $9.5 billion. $9.5 billion. Well, we said it was about $10.5 billion. Well, these eight measures, these eight elements, are the problem. Forced tax cuts, defense spending, bailouts, runaway medical costs, jobless recovery, and interest. You would think that that's what we'd be focusing on, since those were the causes. Why don't we focus on the causes, you know, instead of Social Security? Notice I said there's no Social Security in these numbers, right? You would be shocked to know that Social Security has been subsidizing the U.S. budget for 25 years to the tune of over $2 trillion. In other words, we've been collecting taxes and Social Security in excess of what it was to pay people in terms of Social Security benefits to the tune of $2 trillion, and the government has been dragging that money out of the Social Security Trust Fund and spending it, to enable tax cuts to some extent and defense spending. All right. And notice I didn't say that had anything, that $10 trillion run-up had anything to do with increased benefit coverages for Medicare or Medicaid, no. Or I didn't say anything about education, no. And over half of it, of course, keep in mind, is due to tax revenue loss. This isn't about spending. This is about taxes. But don't touch my tax cuts, stupid. The Republican refrain for years now. All right. To really understand what's going on, you've got to go back and look at the history and the evolution of this. And that starts with the Simpson-Bowles Commission. Simpson and Bowles. Alan Simpson, Erskine Bowles. You know, as soon as Obama came into office, as soon as we started the stimulus, you know, we started putting together this commission to figure out, well, once the economy got going, how we could take the stimulus back. That was the Simpson-Bowles Commission, the dirty duo. Who are these guys? Alan Simpson, an arch-conservative ex-senator from Wyoming. Who's Erskine Bowles? Erskine Bowles sits on the board of a whole bunch of banks, and he was the number one advisor during the Clinton administration. Okay, Simpson and Bowles, and they've been going around saying we got to cut $4 trillion. Well, that's the magic number. It comes from Simpson-Bowles. You know, if you want to understand the fiscal cliff and what they're focusing on, you got to go back to the Simpson-Bowles proposals. Simpson and Bowles come out with their proposal to cut $4 trillion out of deficit and the debt in November 2010, right after the Republicans take control of the House. Okay, let's come back. Let's take our last break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Simpson and Bowles and what's happened since Simpson and Bowles the last 2 years, bringing us up to the fiscal cliff. And then I want to talk about my program of 13 specific tax hikes on the rich that would not only solve this entire deficit problem, but that would give us plenty of additional money to improve social programs. Okay, this is Jack Rasmus, Alternative Visions, and we're talking about the origins of the fiscal cliff now in the Simpson-Bowles Commission, Deficit Cutting Commission, released its initial report 2 years ago, this month. Okay, what did they propose? All right, they propose $4 trillion, the magic number starts with M, $3 trillion in spending cuts, $1 trillion in tax hikes. They're the ones who proposed reducing the top corporate tax rate from 35% to 26%. Pretty close to Obama's 28%, isn't it? They also proposed repealing the alternative minimum tax. This is a tax that says folks making $200,000 and above have to pay something, no matter what their loopholes are. Right? We've been kicking that can down the road every year, so they don't have to pay. Repeal it altogether. is what Simpson Bowl said, raise the gasoline tax and the mortgage deduction. Ooh, that's on the table right now, isn't it? Limit child care credits and reduce the earned income tax credit for the working poor. Okay. And raise middle class tax cuts. Also, they propose to lay off 200,000 government workers to pay for it, a wage freeze for 3 years for the rest, raise Social Security eligibility to 69, lower the cost of living adjustment. Okay. Cut $400 billion from Medicare payments. Raise $110 billion on Medicare out-of-pocket expenses and cut only $100 billion for the next decade, $10 billion a year, from defense. Wow, this looks very much like this fiscal cliff discussion, doesn't it? Yes, I think so. Right? If you really want to understand that, you should understand what Simpson Bowles talked about. By the way, that's all in my article that's on my website that you can get. And if you want the bigger picture of how this fits into the last 3 years of Obama's economic programs, that's my book, Obama's Economy, Recovery for the Few, published this past April 2012. Now, but you can get the free chapter on my website. Okay. Well, you know, once Bowles and Simpson proposed, you know, then it was a debate all throughout 2011 as to what parts of this would be taken up, and it got all mixed up with this debt ceiling stuff, and we ended up cutting only $1 trillion instead of the $4 trillion in August 2011 with the debt ceiling deal. I talked about that and already, and we backloaded another $1.2 trillion called the fiscal cliff. Okay, so that kind of brings us kind of up to speed here. But keep in mind that when in 2011, before we reached the fiscal, the debt ceiling deal in August, Obama proposed a grand deal to Boehner. $4 trillion again. He said he'd cut Medicare, Social Security, by $700 billion. He said that he wanted some tax loophole closings. Right? So, Obama has embraced a lot of his commission, which is the Simpson Bowles Commission's recommendations. And the House Republicans jumped right on that $4 trillion number. They proposed a different mix, of course, but they wanted to drop the top corporate rate to 25%. Gee, we're all in agreement on reducing corporate taxes. They also wanted to get rid of the estate tax and the alternative minimum tax, broaden the tax base, i.e. middle-class tax hikes. So everyone's in agreement on the $4 trillion. Question is just how they're going to get to it, and that's where we are now. Now, do we have to be discussing this topic on their terms? In other words, cutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, education, so and so forth at a 5-to-1 ratio to tax hikes, and tax hikes will mean middle class tax hikes and token hikes, not even tax rate hikes on the top 2% by manipulating brackets. And in the meantime, we're going to give these big cuts for corporations. That's the deal that's being forged as we speak. Does it have to be that? No, it doesn't have to. In my book, Obama's Economy, the last chapter is called An Alternative Program for Economic Recovery. And I propose 13 specific tax measures that would raise more than $4 trillion. In other words, you wouldn't have to cut a penny of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. You wouldn't have to raise taxes one penny on the middle class. Here are some of them. Number one. How about a financial transactions tax on stocks, bonds, and derivative trades? That would raise $150 billion to $200 billion a year. $1 for every common stock trade, a value of $10,000 or less. Okay? And if it's over $100,000, well, you could raise it to $10. Right? 1% tax on all trades worth more than $100,000. Okay, so that's a max of $1,000 when someone makes $100,000. That's not going to break these stock traders. $1 for each $1,000 value of all forms of corporate bond sales, and $1 per $100 derivative trades, notional value of derivative trades. okay, I mean, this isn't going to stop this trading. You know, it's very minimal, and we would raise $150 to $200 billion a year. Another provision. How about a professional investor's tax haven repatriation tax? About $4 trillion today is held in offshore tax havens by U.S. investors, individuals, and corporations in island nations like Cayman Islands and Vanuatu, Seychelles, and so forth, right? The IRS has identified 27 of these special jurisdictions, it calls them. If just $2 trillion of that $4 trillion was required to be redeposited in U.S. banks, I'm not talking about taking the money away, just put it in U.S. banks so we know how much there is so you pay your proper tax, that would raise $700 billion, $70 billion a year. Not a small sum. How about a multinational corporation's offshore profits recovery tax? As I said before, $1.4 trillion. They're sheltering and their subsidiaries refusing to pay the corporate tax rate. If they were required to bring the money back to the U.S. and pay the corporate tax rate, $350 billion at least, and another $140 billion a year for the next 4 years. Now, what if they refuse to bring the money back? Well, I say slap a 50% tariff on all their imports back to the U.S. You know, if they're GM's making cars in Shanghai and they want to bring them back and they won't pay their offshore profits tax, make them pay a tariff of 50% on every car that they bring back to the U.S. made in China. Okay, that'd get their attention, I think. How about restoring the capital gains and dividends and the state taxes back to where they were before Reagan came in office? You know, today, if you're a hedge fund manager making $2 billion, you're only going to pay 15%. I mean, that's even before your tax lawyers get at it, and then you're probably going to pay less than 10%. I think that's rather obscene, paying 15% on $2 billion. How about restoring the top corporate tax rates and personal tax rates to where they were in 1980, 50% instead of 35%? How about a tax that would equalize state-to-state business relocations? You know, there's a race to the bottom between corporations blackmailing states. Oh, I'll move my headquarters to your state if you give me a tax cut. And it's really wreaking havoc with state tax revenues. So let's make them pay an equalization tax if they're going to do that. Oh, how about a business-to-business value-added tax? Well, that's another possibility. How about increasing the Medicare payroll tax on those making over $250,000 a year? And how about an excess profits tax on what I call the big four parasite industries? Who are they? They're the banks, they're the oil companies, they're the health insurance companies, big pharma, and defense companies. These are the companies that are making obscene profits because they're powerful monopolies, and they can get their way with politicians whenever they want, and they get all kind of corporate subsidies and paybacks and don't pay any taxes. Yes, the government actually writes them a check every year. So let's focus on these folks with their excess profits and impose an excess profits tax. Okay, well, if you really want to find out some of these details, I'm just giving you the headline of these 13 ways to tax the rich and their corporations. Take a look at my book, Obama's Economy, Recovery for the Few.